Take a seat. I stumbled across some interesting facts and figures the other day, which I wanted to start by sharing this morning. They are a couple of years old now, but I think when I share them, you'll get my point. In a survey, 59% of school children in this country did not know that the story of Jonah and the big fish, notice I didn't say whale, is from the Bible. They didn't know that that story was from the Bible. Added to that, 29% of those same children didn't know that the nativity story was biblical either. Perhaps slightly more worrying is that 27% of those children's parents thought that the stories from Superman and Lord of the Rings were in the Bible. I'm wondering if that's because of words like kryptonite, Kal-El, Mordor, or the like, possibly. In another church survey, ministers in this country, that's priests, ministers, confessed that 76% of the time they actually used the Bible to prepare their sermons from. It kind of begs the question, I wonder what the other 24% are using. Although, get this, only 68% of congregations believe that the Bible is regularly taught in their churches, which indicates that around 10% of ministers believe they are teaching the Bible, but that's not what the congregation think that they're hearing. Fingers crossed I don't join the 10% club today. Pride and Prejudice, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter and the Seven Book Saga. Just three of many, many books which have been dramatised for cinema or television. Books, if we were to ask those same respondents to that survey, I bet 100% of those adults would have known or had read at least one of them. And perhaps maybe we might laugh at a situation where over a quarter of adults think that stories from Superman or Lord of the Rings are biblical. But it presents a serious problem, doesn't it? A problem which we see around us. A problem which I think we all need to step into and to take some responsibility for. A problem which I think we have the opportunity to change. And you know, when we read books, I don't know about you, but I have a bit of a vivid imagination. I kind of picture scenes. I might cast in my mind what I think the characters look like, what their voices might be like, what is their demeanor like, what is their attitude like. Perhaps you're the same. And so as we watch stories unfolding on our screens that have been converted from books to television or cinema, I wonder if sometimes we are disappointed by who is cast in the leading role or the scenery that we see. Although sometimes maybe we're delighted. Maybe the images of people and places are exactly as the author had presented in our minds. And there's also the question, of course, of how closely the film or drama follows the book that we've read. What's been added or what's been taken away? We all imagine things in different ways, don't we? And in one sense, provided the film story doesn't completely change the book, your interpretation of something you've read and then seen is just as valid as mine. And they can, in fact, enhance the portrayal and the experience of reading a book. But today, as we've heard those readings, I think it's really important that we consider what happens when the Word of God, our Creator, are brought to life in human form, as Jesus reveals himself to be the fulfillment of God's words. And the setting for this drama of the gospel reading today is the synagogue in Nazareth. Jesus, fresh from his time in the wilderness, his testing, his temptation, doesn't take time out. No, he steps straight into his ministry. We're here filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He steps out of the wilderness to set out his stall, to lay down his manifesto, to teach, to open up the scriptures to those he meets and spends time with. We're told very clearly that it was Jesus' custom to attend synagogue regularly. Luke wants us to understand that Jesus is a devout Jew, familiar with Jewish scriptures, the law and the prophets. Now, I wonder if that might be a surprise to some of you sat here this morning, that Jesus was actually a good Jewish boy. And so when Jesus reads aloud the passage from Isaiah, he and the people listening to him would understand that this is a reference to God's anointed one, the longed for Messiah who would bring in God's kingdom on earth. And perhaps as we read those words or hear those words this morning, we can imagine what a scene of great drama and tension it would have been as Jesus, no doubt with authority and meaning, reads the words of Isaiah, slowly rolls up the scroll and sits down. Possibly the modern day equivalent would be a mic dropping moment. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And I can imagine silence. Deep, expectant silence. Time perhaps almost seeming like it's standing still as Jesus perhaps looks around at each and every person sat there, all known to him as neighbours, friends, each important to him as a child of God. And then into that silence, he speaks with authority, certainty, and a power, I bet, that came from deep within. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The people of Israel had been given a word picture of God's promised Saviour and what he would do. Now suddenly they have Jesus before them, a living person who is going to put God's laws into action and fulfill the words of the prophets. And what were they to make of it? This person that they had watched grow up, the son of Joseph, the carpenter, and Mary, this upstart from Nazareth, this man they knew was now stood before them, astonishing them by telling them that God's grace was for everybody, for all. Not just the chosen few. Here was Jesus standing, sharing a shocking message of healing for all people. A message of God's love and mercy for all. The fulfillment of a central theme in Israel's own scriptures. And what are we to make of that now? These words and deeds of Jesus that are written down and treated as part of God's holy scriptures. This that we have access to, this that we can spend time reading, studying, this shocking, astonishing message of love, mercy, redemption and healing for all. And you know what? I'm sure at times it's tempting to keep those words on the page with the cover shut. Read them, study them and analyze them without actually becoming part of that story. God's story ourselves. We might even believe that our interpretation of the Gospels is the true one. That Jesus makes it very clear what God says and does, and that we must accept this without engaging in conversation with Jesus. But in his account of the Gospel, John makes it very clear that Jesus is Word of God made flesh, dwelling among us, and perhaps we are invited to hold the Scriptures in our lives as living words of God, which we can have a relationship with that allows for questions, discussions, wrestling, struggle, learning, correction, and nourishment. You know, our encounters with Jesus through living words of Scripture can be every bit as exciting and challenging and life-giving as encounters with the Jesus of history, because they are encounters with the eternal Christ, who shows us today what God looks like in human form. And perhaps it won't always be what we imagined, but maybe that's a good thing. And we're going to sing a hymn right at the end of our service. And I wonder if that hymn might be our prayer this Sunday, with words like this: Lord, for the word of life which fires us, speak to our hearts and set our souls ablaze. Teach us and train us, rebuke us and inspire us. Lord of the word, receive your people's praise. And so we have a responsibility, don't we? There is nobody better placed to encourage our friends, our families, our colleagues to pick up the best-selling book in history than us. The generation of people that are out there who honestly believe that Superman and Lord of the Rings are Bible characters, the reality is they're not likely to just wander up that path and set foot in here on a given Sunday just because they felt like it. Let's face it, they haven't done in recent years, have they? COVID aside. No, we have a responsibility. We need to meet these people where they are, and we need to bring the Bible alive for them, to personalize it for them. We need to excite them about what the Bible can offer them, what Jesus can offer them. We need to offer those around us who have not yet had the opportunity to encounter Jesus that opportunity to encounter Jesus through his living word, through this. Not the big picture stuff, not to talk about the Christian view of this and that and those burning platforms that we see littered across the media or in the Church Times, like sexuality and gender, those things that are headline news, because they are secondary issues. The primary issue is for salvation, that people will meet the living Christ. And we have a responsibility. We must tell people we know and love how the Bible speaks to us today, how we struggle with it, how it can be harsh and uncompromising, and yet it speaks to us of redemption, of love, that God is involved and interested in our lives. This extraordinary work of literature that is breathed out from God himself provides an extraordinary bridge between the mere human and the divine. And I've said it before, and some of you will have heard this, we might be the only Bibles that some people have access to. And we might have the chance to share life with people if we but take that opportunity. because we might be the only Bibles that have the opportunity to stir the souls of others around us. And so, yes, we do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to excite our friends, our colleagues, our families about a book that isn't just a darn good story, by the way. It's actually better than that Netflix subscription. And it's not just about information. This is about transformation. Transformation of lives, transformation of community. Through this, people have the opportunity to meet Jesus. We have all encountered Jesus through his living word, haven't we? That's not a rhetorical question, everybody. I'm seeing some nods. And we need to bring it alive for others. We need to take our responsibility as disciples seriously. I want to finish with these words. Lord, for the word of life which fires us, speaks to our hearts and sets our souls ablaze, teaches and trains, rebukes us and inspires us. Lord of the word, receive your people's praise. Amen.